Hey, I'm Antonio Grisefo, and this is the Brooklyn Monk in Asia podcast, episode 16. Are you calling me a mook? Part 1. I was down and out in Saigon, taking the word broke to some new level of meaning. Being broke and unemployed, however, had some advantages. It gave me more time to read, more time to write, and more time to sit at a plastic table in my alley where a woman with a pushcart sold the best Vietnamese coffee ever for 50 cents. No matter how broke I am, I find money for coffee, but not always for food or rent. I was looking in the newspaper. You'd think I'd be looking for a job, but actually, I was looking for one of those high-pressure timeshare sales seminars. They usually put out a good lunch spread at those things. I couldn't find anything like that, but in the events section, I saw that it was almost Yugoslav Independence Day. Attending embassy functions is always a good way of getting a free meal. The only downside is that you have to pretend to care. There was also a coup brewing in an African country, which I had half an eye on. If that happened, I knew there'd be an inaugural ball for the new dictator. And I'd be right there, eating free hors d'oeuvres and yelling, "Long live the new guy! Down with the old guy!" Bombs had been going off in the Thai capital with greater frequency in the last few weeks, which meant there'd be a coup, followed by a free meal pretty soon at the embassy. They'd had like 4 coups in the last 3 years, and the embassy had to throw so many dinners welcoming in the new presidente, the Thai embassy was starting to look like a restaurant. But the Yugoslavs had actually set a date for their shindig, so I wrote out the address of the Yugoslav embassy and handed it to my motorcycle driver, who was also having coffee, but his was laced with white liquor. He didn't have any customers today, but he didn't seem to care. He kicked back on his motorcycle completely reclined, beside his other motorcycle driver buddies. They would start at 7 in the morning and sit like that till midnight, occasionally driving customers' places. The rest of the day, they alternately got hopped up on drug-strength Vietnamese coffee or slightly wasted on Vietnamese white liquor. In drug terms, I think that's called a Belushi, when you mix an upper and a downer. That's what killed the famous comedian John Belushi. You would think with a name like Belushi, they would have seen that coming. If his parents had changed their name when the kid was born, it would have removed the irony of his death. I mean, imagine him being killed by a condition that was named after him. For me, I don't drink or use drugs anymore. But when I used to, I remember I tried alcohol and coffee at the same time, and I just stayed exactly the same. A university in Ho Chi Minh City had offered me a really good job teaching diploma-level classes in business to highly motivated adult students. It was tailor-made for me. The salary was great and the hours were perfect. But there was a holdup in getting the courses approved by the Ministry of Education. So in the interim, I absolutely had to find a job, any job, as fast as possible. Consequently, I wound up signing a 1-year contract at a language school where I really didn't want to work. Luckily, in Vietnam, contracts are completely unenforceable. So it was really just perfunctory that I signed it. But the job wasn't great to start with. Way below my education experience. The pay was low. Also, when I went into the meeting, the boss kept calling me Scott instead of Antonio. I probably told him 5 times to call me Antonio, but somehow he refused. By the second meeting, I really put my foot down. "My name is Antonio." "How about Tony?" he asked. "Could I call you Tony?" "Tony is not my name," I told him. "My name is Antonio. Call me Antonio." "Your name is Tobe. Tobe. Kunta Kinte. Tobe. Tobe." During the 3 meetings we had leading up to my contract signing, I had told them several times I didn't want to work with kids. In fact, they had me fill in a teaching preference form, and on it I wrote in huge block letters, "No kids." When they called me back to sign my contract, the boss said, "We have 2 days of work for you, Saturday and Sunday, teaching children only. Will that be okay?" I wanted to tell him no. In fact, I wanted to show him on my form where it said in block letters, "No kids." And then I was going to ask, was that too vague? But I was broke. So I said, okay, with zero enthusiasm. But from that point on, the job just got better and better. Class starts at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, which means that there is no way I can get breakfast before teaching because they don't sell food at 7 a.m. Next, I have to teach a group of 20-some-odd small children on a Saturday morning. I am so sure they will be excited about being in school. Finally, the class lasts for 3 hours. I can't imagine what genius thought it was a good idea to put small children in a class that lasts for 3 hours. I was almost in tears when I left the meeting. I spent 10 years at university getting qualified to teach advanced courses to adults for good money, and this is what I was reduced to. Not to mention when my first book, The Monk from Brooklyn, was published, I had high hopes that it would alter my life in such a fashion that I could just live off of my book royalties and not have to teach anymore. Yeah, pleasant dreams. Maybe I will take a Belushi. So, I was sitting there having coffee that Wednesday, looking for free meals in the newspaper, when an American teacher named Warren, who lives on my alley, stopped by to have a coffee with me. I don't get to meet too many English native speakers, so I was really enjoying a chance to speak English. Thus, I was more than a little annoyed when my phone rang. "Yeah, what do you want?" I said, answering. "I am Vu, the scheduling manager for Language Now English School," said a Vietnamese woman. I knew that someone would be calling me to come in and go over my schedule and get my books. It was already Wednesday and my class started on Saturday, so that narrowed down our meeting to either Thursday or Friday. "Okay, when do you want me to come in?" I asked. "We would like to arrange time with you when it would be convenient for you to come to our school to go over your schedule." "Yes," I said, "that would be fine. When do you want me to come in?" "We would like to arrange time with you at your convenience." "I've been trying to arrange time with you for the last 10 minutes, lady, but you were too focused on getting through your script. Now, what time do you want me to meet tomorrow?" "The purpose of the meeting is to..." "What time?" I interrupted. "Tell me a time now."
4 o'clock, she answered, cowed.
I hung up the phone and Warren was staring at me wide-eyed. Just before the phone call, I'd been telling him how broke I was. That was actually my most frequent topic of conversation. I also told him that the previous week I hadn't even had money for food or rent. And now he was just staring at me like I'd come from the moon. I go, "What's wrong? I didn't sound like someone who desperately wants to keep their new job." "You sounded very annoyed," he answered.
"I am. I don't want to teach kids. I don't want to work for the small salary they're paying, and I don't want to work at 8 in the morning on a Saturday. Besides which, the underlying problem of all of this is that I'm perpetually pissed off now that I haven't made enough from TV, books, and DVDs, and movies, and I still need to have a job."
"I kind of got that impression," said Warren. "But part of the angry tone of voice is an act," I confessed.
"Then why do you do it?" he asked.
"Warren, Warren, Warren, my lad, I'm glad you asked me. You're younger and only in your third year in Asia. Learn from the master. You've heard stories of foreigners getting ripped off or abused by their employers over here, haven't you?" Before he could say anything, I answered for him. "Of course you have. Now, a lot of those people who get ripped off are stupid or meek or Canadian and just don't stand up for themselves, which in my book makes them mooks and not pitiable. Do you know the term schlemiel?" Warren shook his head no. I felt sad for him and all people that weren't from New York City. In my hometown, we all know the Italians taught the world how to eat and how to make love. And the Jews taught us some of the best slang. Yiddish was particularly good when we had to describe not just an idiot, but a particular kind of idiot, such as a schlemiel, as opposed to a schmoo, a schnook, or a schmuck. "In the old days," I told Warren, "back in Europe, you know, before everyone went to America, they had chamber pots full of human excrement sitting around the apartment. I know, gross, right? But for them, it was normal. Maybe even fun. And they were so used to it, they all knew how to tippy-toe around the condo and not tip over the chamber pot. A schlemiel is the kind of idiot that when you invite him into your home, he is so clumsy, he tips over the chamber pot, dumping the dump all over your nice clean floor. I mean, I am talking the room could be the size of Yankee Stadium, well lighted, completely devoid of furniture or other obstacles, and this moron walks right in and trips over the chamber pot. Schlemiel," said Warren, trying out the new vocabulary. "Yeah, you gotta work on the pronunciation a bit, but basically, yes, you got it," I told him. "It's important to encourage young people. Okay, now, there's another word, schlemazel. The two are related, but don't confuse them. A schlemiel, as you recall from our previous lesson, is the guy who tips over the chamber pot. He's a complete klutz. But the schlemazel is the guy who the chamber pot lands on. He's a perpetual victim." I wasn't sure if this was getting through to Warren. I didn't always know what he was thinking because I did all the talking. But I was hoping he would take this lesson and learn from it.
a lot of people my age become financially successful and then they feel they should give back to the community by donating money to charity. I don't have money, but I have pearls of wisdom, a wealth of experience, and I enjoy imparting it to young people to help them on their journey in life. Now back to our vocabulary lesson. I told Warren, a schlemiel we can't help. If you're born that dumb, you're going to stay that way. But the schlemazel? Anyone can be a schlemazel if they don't stand up for themselves. Being a schlemiel is a hereditary genetic defect. If you survey schlemiels, you will find they had schlemiel mothers and schlemiel fathers. It's science. And you know what they say? You can't fight science. Yeah, I'm not really sure who says that, but I've heard that as a saying, you can't fight science. Anyway, back to the lesson. But the schlemazel, that's nothing but a poor lifestyle choice, like necrophilia. So don't be a schlemazel. I mean, who would want to sleep with a corpse anyway? What has all this got to do with what you said on the phone? Asked Warren. I was establishing a precedent, I explained. When I used to be in sales, they told us that, statistically, if you eat in a restaurant and you enjoy the food and the service, you'll tell 4 friends. If you eat in a restaurant and you hate the food and the service, you'll tell 12 friends. When Vu got off the phone, I would have to believe she told 12 people about our conversation. Moving forward, when they have some uncomfortable work, bad hours, terrible conditions, low pay, or when they need someone to come in on their day off, do you think they're going to call me? I guess they won't, said Warren. And then after a pause, of course, they might just fire you. It's a delicate balance, I admitted. You have to push it enough that everyone is afraid to talk to you, but not so far that you get fired. Of course, in my case, I hate this job, and I'm sorry I agreed to do it. So if I get fired, I win. Another interesting point about this type of work is that most of these language schools have other courses that are off-site, either at public schools or companies or something, and they generally pay quite a bit higher. So by being the most annoying guy in the office, the one everybody hates, there's a higher probability they're going to give me that better paying job just to get me out of their hair. So basically, this is just a long-term financial investment that I was making. On Thursday afternoon, I walked into the office and an assistant gave me my schedule. The exact same schedule which I already had from the boss who called me Tony. You could have saved me a trip, I said. Where can I get my books? I need to do my prep today so I'll be ready for Saturday's class. One of the managers stood and said to me, Scott, you must obtain books today. We require all teachers to prepare for class in advance. My name is Antonio. I don't want to be called Scott. Call me Antonio. Yes, Scott, No, Antonio. My name is Antonio. You must obtain books today. We require all teachers prepare for class in advance. I just asked you where I could get books so I could prepare in advance, I said in a very unfriendly tone. What? Asked the manager. I just asked you for books, and you told me I need to get books and prepare today. That's what I've been asking you. Yes, we require our teacher to prepare a lesson in advance. Yes, and to that end, I need a book. Could you please give me a book? Follow me, he said. I thought he was taking me to the book room. Instead, he took me to the office of the quality control manager. I am Zhang. I'm quality control manager, he told me. I assumed I was meant to shake hands with him and then they would take me to the book room. But the manager left me with Mr. Zhang. This is your schedule, Scott, he said, pointing at the word schedule at the top of a piece of paper he was holding in his hand. And of course, it was the same exact piece of paper my boss had given me a week ago when I signed the contract, and which the office manager had just given me 5 minutes ago. By the blank marked teacher's name, it said Scott Antonio Grisefo. Antonio, I said. Scott, we will look at your schedule together. No, my name is Antonio. I've told you people several times my name is Antonio. You will call me Antonio. I jerked the schedule out of his hand and scratched off the name Scott and wrote Antonio. Yes, sorry, Anthony. Antonio! Now, Anthony, can you show me on your schedule where your classes are? Antonio! I was about to protest, but I let it slide. I was waiting for him to get on with whatever it was he was going to tell me so I could leave. But he seemed to be waiting for me to say or do something. Antony, he repeated, causing me to grind my teeth together, can you show me on your schedule where your classes are? You mean the classes I have on Saturday and Sunday?
Yes,
answered Mr. Zhang, obviously annoyed. The schedule had the 7 days of the week on it, and all the days were blank except Saturday and Sunday, which contained my classes. Did he actually expect me to point at the classes on the schedule? Was he testing my obedience or my ability to read a schedule? Either way, I decided to just take a zero on this assignment. I forced myself to neither point nor look at the blocks which contained my classes in black.
Well, the interview just goes worse from there, but how does it turn out? Does the Brooklyn Monk explode? Does he storm out of the room? Does he climb on top of a bell tower with a high-powered rifle? Tune in next time to find out. For the Brooklyn Monk in Asia Podcast, Episode 17. You calling me a mook? Part 2. Well, I got a call from a bookstore the other day, and they were complaining. You know what they said? They got too many copies of Warrior Odyssey, my new book, sitting on their bookshelves, and it's right there next to The Monk from Brooklyn. So they asked me if I would ask you to go out and buy a couple of copies. Now, you can get my book. You can get Warrior Odyssey at Barnes & Noble bookstores. You can get Warrior Odyssey or The Monk from Brooklyn or any of my books at my website, www.speakingadventure.com. And while you're there, you might want to check out my DVD, Martial Arts Odyssey Volume 1. This DVD includes the little-known martial arts of Bokator, which is the Cambodian martial art, and Kun Tao, which is an ancient Philippine martial art. And it's all right there on DVD, Martial Arts Odyssey Volume 1. Get it from my website, speakingadventure.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Brooklyn Monk. Or you can join the Brooklyn Monk fan page on Facebook. See all my videos on my YouTube channel, Brooklyn Monk 1. Man, there's so much stuff going on. You know what else? You can also sign up for my newsletter on my website, speakingadventure.com. It's a constant in my life, but I find myself broke once again. And I read somewhere that O positive is the universal blood donor. So I would like to sell you my blood. If you need blood, I've got O positive. Or O negative, I don't remember. Anyway, I got some kind of blood, it's red, you can use it. So if you need blood and you like to buy some, you know, I'll sell it to you. Either that or you can just go to my website, speakingadventure.com, and look for the button marked donate to the Keep Antonio Writing and Filming Fund. Yeah, actually, that's a much better option because if you donate to the Keep Antonio Writing and Filming Fund, that'll keep me from having to donate my blood or sell it. So yeah, that'd be better. Hey man, you know you can have a lot of obstacles in your life. One of my most constant ones is being broke all the time. But you're going to hit walls, you're going to fall down, you're going to fall down potholes even. And when you try and take a chance in your life and do something that's different than everybody else does, there's a high probability that you're going to fail. And when you do, people are going to tell you, I told you so, I told you so, yeah, I told you so. It's just the way things are in life, but you know what? You're never going to get anything if you don't take a chance. But you don't even have to take a chance. You know what you got to do in life? You got to be you. Don't be a conformist. Don't follow what other people tell you to do. You try and make it your way. Live your way. Make yourself happy. Make your family happy. Treat people well. But you do it with your own personal idiom. I have my own personal idiom. I'm the Brooklyn Monk in Asia, Antonio Grisefo, reminding you to go out and do something stupid today.